Well, praise the Lord.
Amen.
It's good to be back in here on this last service. Thank you, Brother Stephen, for those wonderful messages. Amen. I'm a firm believer in the sanctification of God. I understand that most of the time, sanctification rarely happens in people's lives because they don't allow the Lord to place them in conditions that are contrary to what they want those conditions to be. You know, when David reached down into the brook, the Bible says he picked up smooth stones. In order for those stones to become smooth, they had to be battered by all the other rocks and the water and whatever else. I can tell you that's sanctification. God is preparing you to use in these last days. Amen. But thank you, Brother Stephen, as always. I thoroughly enjoyed the Word of God. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Genesis chapter 26, verse 17. Genesis 26, verse 17. I was praying about what the Lord would have us to finish this last service. We've heard all for years, last things are lasting things. I pray in this that this would be a blessing to you, an encouragement to you, and that God would help you in this particular service. Genesis 26 verse 17, the Bible says, "And Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father. For the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. And the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, 'The water is ours.' And he called the name of the well Esek, because they strove with him. And they digged another well, and strove for that also. And he called the name of it Sitnah. And he removed from thence, and digged another well. And for that they strove not. And he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, 'For now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land.'" Now go with me to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews 6 verse 1 and 2. Hebrews 6 1 and 2. The Bible says, "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of the laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment." I want to preach to you for just a little while here this morning in this service, digging again what once was and digging what can be. Digging again what once was and digging what can be. Would you help me pray? Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to gather once again, Lord, to hear the eternal Word of God. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to your people. I pray, oh God, that you'd make it alive to us, Lord. Hallelujah. Quicken us in our spirit. I understand, Lord, that I cannot speak to the minds of men, but I speak to their spirits here today. I pray, Lord, that you'd have your eternal work, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Preaching once again, digging again what once was and digging what can be. We understand here today that in order for things to be lost, to be ruined, to be stopped, is to simply neglect it. A person doesn't have to destroy something, demolish something, or dismantle something in order to lose something. All a person must do is to neglect it, and it will most assuredly be lost in time. That is why the Word of God says in Hebrews 2:3, how shall we escape if we neglect, somebody shout neglect, so great salvation which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard it. Now in this verse, the writer of Hebrews tells us that salvation can be neglected. And if it is neglected, how shall we escape? This word neglected means to be careless of. Albert Barnes said, it is not merely if we commit great sins, not if we are murderers, adulterers, thieves, infidels, atheists, scoffers. It is if we merely neglect this salvation. If we do not embrace it, if we suffer it to pass unimproved. Neglect is enough to run a man or a church. A man who is in business need not commit forgery or robbery to run himself. He only has to neglect his business. Amen. We understand, I believe, that one of the most powerful statements in all the Word of God in relation to not being careless or neglecting is when the prophet Elijah said to the Shunammite woman in 1 Kings 4:13, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all of this care. What the prophet was saying to this woman was that she did not neglect the means of her salvation. If you look at her life, you see that she applied herself in great detail in relation to that which brought life to her home. Amen. She made sure that there was a bed. She made sure that there was a stool, a table, a candlestick. In other words, the prophet identified the fact that this lady understood that salvation must be maintained. Amen. I can assure you today, the modern church has come to believe that you can lose salvation by simply going out there and committing adultery or whatever else. But I can assure you today that all you have to do to lose it is to neglect it. Amen. Don't improve on it. Don't be careful about it. Amen. You see, through her actions, decisions, and considerations, she lived a life of spiritual maintenance. We find in the Word of God that salvation is a well. And as with all wells, they must be maintained. Isaiah 12:2 says, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the well of salvation. Matter of fact, it says wells of salvation. Matthew Henry said, God's promises revealed, ratified, and given out to us in His ordinances are wells of salvation, wells of the Savior. For in them the Savior and salvation are made known to us and made over to us. Amen. As we look at our text, we find that it is the desire, ambition, and aim of the enemy and all things hell to fill this well. Genesis 26:17 says, and Isaac departed and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again, somebody shout again, the wells of water which they had digged lived in the days of Abraham, his father. For the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. I believe the Holy Ghost makes a great priority here on using the word death of Abraham. I'm a firm believer that when death begins to move in, you can be assured that the enemy of your soul begins to put a little dirt in the well of salvation. Hallelujah. I can assure you that death oftentimes isn't something of an immediacy, but you begin to die. Death begins to come into your spirit. Amen. You say, how is that? You began to neglect and you will not escape. Amen. I'm a firm believer. A life doesn't turn away from God overnight. It's a continual thing. It's a progressive thing. As they began to give themselves to the death of all that is hell. If you want to grow with God today, turn yourself to the Son of God, which is the life of all things. And God will secure that salvation. Amen. You see, in these verses, we find that as soon as neglect came and as soon as death came, that the Philistines moved in and stopped the wells that Abraham had dug. You see, as soon as prayer was ceased, church attendance was abandoned, trusting daily in the life of Jesus was cast aside, and as soon as the branch disconnected from the vine, the Philistines came in and stopped the well. Amen. You see, the Philistines did not stop the wells while Abraham was alive, when the prayer life was there, when the things of God was in the spirit. The Philistines were held at bay. There was nothing they could do. But as soon as death moved in and other things became the priority of life, little by little, amen, the enemy came in and began to put dirt back into the well. Amen. And I can assure you today, based upon Genesis 26, all you and I have to do is to turn our back on the well, and the enemy of our soul is putting dirt back into the well. Amen. Hallelujah to God. There's a lot of people that used to walk with God and began to used to drink out of the wells of salvation. But today, they're not drinking out those wells. You say, why? Because they neglected the well and the enemy of their soul began to move in. But as I said a moment ago, this is a progressive thing. There's a lot of people that used to get drink from the well of salvation. It was like this water bottle. It was pure. It was good. It was refreshing. And they drunk it, amen. But in time, that little by little, the dirt began to be put in there, and the well become to be a little murky, you see. Now they're drinking, and it doesn't quite taste like it used to taste when they first got saved. I mean, when they first got saved, Brother Stephen, oh, it was a refreshing drink. Because they're allowing death to come in. What was once totally refreshing, now the preaching don't taste like it used to taste in ye conventions gone by and in Sundays gone by. But I believe today, if we'll get a hold of God, we can come against the enemy of our soul, and before it's completely filled up, we can recapture the joy of our salvation. Give Him praise today. Now when you look at the Word of God, you find that the Philistines were very particular in what they put back into the well. It doesn't say they stopped it up with rocks. It doesn't say they put sand in it. It doesn't say they put something else in it. But the Bible is very particular that it says they put earth in it. You study the word earth, it literally means dust. If you take this thought to the New Testament, you come to verses like John 3:12. If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? John 3:31. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. We could say then that the Philistines began to pour into things that was anti-Christ. It was all that was false. It was against that which was heavenly and that which was eternal. 2 Corinthians 5:1 says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Yeah. Philippians 3:19, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Yeah. We could say that before, when the whale was operational and pure, it was a heavenly minded whale. It was a heavenly minded church. But as soon as death began to move in, that whale become to be earthly. When you heard them from the pulpit, all it was about was the product of man, man's religion, man's worship, man's ideal, man's philosophy. But I tell you today, I don't preach to you a gospel of man. I preach to you that which comes from above. It's spiritual, it's eternal, and it cultivates the will of God in relation to your salvation. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. James 3:15. This wisdom, somebody shout, this wisdom. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. Amen. I can assure you that's the ministry of the Philistines. Amen. That's what the devil always desires to do in relation to the people of God. Hallelujah. You let death creep in and all that is earthly will be in that well. I've been to a lot of places and I've said, oh my, oh God, I remember when they used to have a shaft of that living water. I remember when at church used to sing those heavenly songs of Zion and the people of God would worship in the beauty of holiness. But now I go there, I turn on that preacher I used to enjoy listening to, and I can't even suck down a drop of water because it's so full of Philistinian mud. Oh, come on now. It's so full of earthly thought. But I'm thankful tonight, this morning rather, that if you find yourself in that condition, that there's mercy with God. I said there's mercy with God. There's forgiveness with God. Isaac did not say to himself, well, I guess I'll just throw in the towel. I guess I'll just do something else. But he understood there's a God in heaven that can forgive his people, that can wash their sins away. But my God, we must go back to the well and redig what's been lost in our life. Yeah. Hallelujah. You see, some, if the devil would have his way in their life, would say, you've forever lost it. If the Philistines have moved in and they've put all of this inside of that well, you can never recapture it again. Oh, listen to me. I'm so thankful that God is a God that redeems again the backslider and brings back those that have lost the wells of salvation. Hallelujah. You see, we must come to see that it is life. Somebody shout life. Life that repels, resists, and pushes back the Philistines. As long as Abraham was alive, the wells remained. That's what Jesus said about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He said, I'm not the God of the dead, but of the living. Hallelujah. And in relation to the well, Abraham is still alive today. Why? Because he's sitting with God. He's up in that eternal city. For God is not the God of the dead. He's the God of the living. And as long as I know that, that well can remain alive, that well can be productive, that well can spring forth unto everlasting life, because that's the God of the living well. Hallelujah. Just as long as Abraham was alive, the wells remained open and useful. In this we must come to see that life always, always, always maintains the wells of salvation. Show me a dead prayer life, a dead Bible reading, a dead church, or a dead spirit, and I will show you a well that is being or has been stopped by the Philistines. The enemy of our souls will most assuredly grab the backhoe, the shovel, the excavator, and the bulldozer when he senses or perceives death setting in. Amen. I wish I could tell you that he'll always stay at bay, but I'm quite sure that the Philistines were watching Abraham, and as soon as they saw that Isaac wasn't going to move in with life and maintain that position, they quickly began to stop the wells. Yeah. One able commentary states, these wells were what Abraham's servants had dug when he lived in Gerar, and when the Philistine durst not stop during his life, but when he was dead, they observed to prosper much, they stopped them up, that Isaac might have no benefit by them. Amen. We understand this not only in relation to the eternal salvation of God, but we also understand it into the great doctrines of God of years gone by. I can assure you, if we don't maintain the just shall live by faith of Luther, if we don't maintain all those that have gone by, the wells that Clendenin dug, if we don't make sure the school of Christ is still going to the ends of the earth, the devil will come in. We just spoke the other day, I think it was Togo, wherever it was, that school 20 years ago ran, Brother Stephen, and that man, people come out, and they said, nobody, you know, can you please, Brother Stephen, bring that back to our country? Can you please come back? They understood. If they don't get the shovel, the school of Christ will be lost in that country. And let us make no mistake about it. Here in the European countries, if we don't maintain that well, they'll lose all they've learned in the school of Christ here in Limerick. But by the grace of God today, we're going to say, I'm going to maintain that well. I'm going to have a school next year. I'm going to go to a school in Africa. I'm going to make sure the wells of doctrines have gone, years gone by, are going to be fruitful to the glory of God Almighty. Giving praise. F.B. Meyer once said, it was said by Coleridge that our greatest mission is to rescue admitted truths from the neglect caused by their universal admission. There is much force in this. When a truth is fighting for existence, it compels men, whether they love it or not, to consider it. But when its position is secured, it becomes like a well-used coin or the familiar text which hangs unnoticed on the wall. It is a great mission to rescue such truths from neglect, to flash upon them the strong light which arrests attention, to play the part of old mortality, who chisel in hand was wont to clear the mold of neglect from the gravestones of the covenanteers, so that the legend might stand out clear cut. Oh my, I want you to hear this, preacher. You say, what is your mission? My mission is to make sure that all those great revelations and doctrines of years gone by, all those lives of men and women that shed their blood, that we can preach from a Bible that we can read. I'm here today in Ireland to help push back the darkness and to help rediscover the wells of God, that the people of God can be refreshed from the things of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's where we're at today. Hallelujah. You see, as we look at our text, there are four things that I would like to convey. The first is this. The believer must rediscover through spiritual effort and energies what has been lost. Secondly, the believer must not endeavor to reinvent what has been proven to be accurate eternal and useful. Three, in the believer's desire to rediscover, they should always maintain a Christ-like disposition. And lastly, the believer should never allow resistance to discourage, but to encourage them to continue on. Genesis 26:18, and Isaac digged again the wells of water, which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father. For the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. Now we understand this morning that to have to do, to redo, start over, or do over again is one of the most difficult things for an individual or a church to do. Did you hear me? Especially when it is simply a response to particular neglect. However, in this walk with God, there are times this is exactly what must be done. Scripture says, and Isaac digged again the well of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father. We understand that even Christ himself told the church of Ephesus in Revelation 2:5, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen. Repent and do the first work, or else I will come unto thee quickly and I will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. You say, Pastor Robin, why is that so difficult? Because there's nothing harder than to have to apply spiritual energies to redo what you had already done, or what you lost by neglect. Amen. I can tell you one thing that frustrates me the most is when I build something and I forget to look at the instruction. Come on, somebody. And you get all the way into it and you're holding that screw. Oh, come on, somebody. And you say, oh my, now I've got to redo all. It's a lot easier when you saw it going. Come on, somebody. I said it was a lot easier. But now you've got to go back because of your neglect and rediscover what should have never been lost in the first place. Sometimes you've got to go back and you've got to do the first work over. You say, well, preacher, I know most of how to do that. Well, it doesn't matter. You skipped a valuable part in that beginning walk with God and you've got to go back. I found in observation, it's one of the hardest things to do to get a man that's in his 30s and he's never really worked a job. Maybe he's been on drugs or whatever else to go start a job. Well, now he's working with 18-year-olds and he gets frustrated about all because he thinks he should be further along than what.
Yeah.
Come on now. I can assure you most people abandon this in this walk with God. They say to themselves, well, I just don't want to apply energy to redo what I know I should have done and never lost. So we say, well, I'll just move on and dig another well. Well, no, you won't. You may think you will. You may think you'll go to another church. You may think you'll do something different, but the devil's lied to you. Paul said, until Christ be formed in you again. What he's saying is there was something broken in the process and I've got to go back to the beginning and make sure you're on a firm foundation. I've got to make sure that you're right in your walk with God. Don't you ever try to build something else when you've not rediscovered what you lost.
Amen.
I can assure you, you've got a pastor. You've got people around you that'll help you get a shovel. Oh, come on, somebody. I tell people at Paulsville all the time, if you backslide, if you do something stupid, if you sin, you know my number. You just call me. I'll meet you back out of that well and we'll dig together. I want you to know you're not in this by yourself. I said you're not in it. Isaac had servants. What's that tell me? It tells me he had help. And I want you to look around today, and you've got help as well. You're not in this battle alone. You're not in this by yourself. You've got other saints of God. You've got preachers in America. You've got preachers in Germany that'll help you dig this great well of God and see the Lord move in your life again. Give Him praise. Hallelujah. You see, in this verse, In Revelation 2:5, we find Christ telling the church in Ephesus in essence, to dig again the wells of water. I found that countless people lose out with God, not because they do not know what must be dug again, but because to do over the first works seems like an unexciting, boring, humdrum experience. Oh, it's a lot better, a lot more exciting to just abandon a marriage. Oh, listen to me. To go and not redo things when you were in a relationship with a friend and not get it right if you were wrong. Come on now. It'd be a lot easier just to go dig another well with another friend. You don't have to deal with your... Come on, somebody. However, if the believer is really going to flourish with God, they must dig again the wells that the Philistines have stopped with earth. Amen. We must understand there is a lot of earth. But we find that once Isaac committed to redigging the wells that had been lost through neglect, that he did not move into false doctrines, strange fables, or bizarre beliefs, but stay true to what he knew had been established by his father.
Hallelujah.
Scripture says in Isaac, digged again the wells of water, which they had digged in the days of Abraham, his father. For the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham, and he called, somebody shout called.
Called.
He called their names after the names of the most modern book he could find. That's not what it says.
No.
And he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. In other words, here we find that Isaac wasn't trying to reinvent the wheel. He wasn't trying to be influenced by culture, modernism, the current trend, or the most recent fads. He called the wells the name that his father had named them. Amen. If it was sin then, it was sin to Isaac now. If it was adultery then, it was adultery now. If it was opposite to Christ, it was still opposite to Christ. He didn't put his finger in the wind and see the proverbial wind and say, I'm just going to name it something else. It wasn't a problem. It wasn't a habit. It was sin. Come on, somebody. He named it what God had named it, what the Father had named it. We live in a world that tries to minimize the name of the fountain or the well. But let me tell you, by the word of God, I'm not here trying to reinvent the wheel. It's still sanctification. It's still holiness. It's still righteousness. It's still being born again. It's still sin. It is what it's always been. And I'm not going to step out and name it something different because I think it's trendy.
Yeah.
Oh, come on, somebody. Oh, we live in a world of trendy names. I can just imagine Isaac had those in his world. Oh, name it something different. We live in a new generation, Isaac. I know your daddy could call it that and get away with it, but if you call it that, it ain't going to come to your church. It ain't going to support the mission. Oh, come on, somebody. Oh, all those thoughts went through his head just like it goes through ours. If you call it like that, if you say two people living together that's not married, adultery, ain't going to leave your church. But you listen to me. It's still adultery. You need to be married. Somebody say hallelujah. That's just the word of God. Hallelujah. Give no place to the devil. Hallelujah. We must come to understand this. We could say that he called the well sanctification, holiness, redemption, salvation, baptism, faithfulness, prayer, and communion. He named it all what had always been established and what brought the people of God a wonderful drink of water. Matthew Henry said, in our searches for after truth, that fountain of living water, it is good to make use of the discoveries of former ages, which have been clouded by the corruptions of later times. Inquire for the old way, the wells which our fathers digged, which the adversaries of truth have stopped up. Amen. I understand in myself today, I'm not just some unique person. I'm just not some outlier of things. I'm just a man that believes in the wells of my Father. I preach the Word of God. That's what I preach. The Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. I'm just rediscovering wells. People think they're new. No, no. Make no mistake about it. The people of God have been preaching this for for hundreds of years. They preached it in fields. They preached it in shacks. They preached it in churches. They preached it on streets. I'm just one that's taken that well and saying it's the same God of yesterday, today, and forever. There's no shadow of turning in God.
Hallelujah.
Deuteronomy 32:7 says, remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father.
Yeah.
He will show thee. Thy elders, and they will tell thee. Yeah. If you want to know if that's a good thing, come to your pastor. I tell the church at Pottsville all the time, don't you just take a social media post. I don't care if they got 50,000 likes. That means nothing to me. You ask your elder, is that a well I need to drink from? And I can tell you, I have one motivation in my life, and that is to preach the Word of God, to live by the Word of God. You show me it in this blessed book, and I'll shout you down from the seat that I'm sitting. But if it's not in this book, you may see me get up, walk out of your particular meeting. Why? I'm not interested in man's thought. I'm not interested in man's ways. I'm interested in one thing, and that's the wells of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That's the only thing that refreshes my soul.
Yes.
Alexander McLaren once said, some of us nowadays get credit for being advanced and liberal thinkers because we regard our father's wells as much too choked with rubbish to be worth clearing out. And the last thing we should dream of would be to revive the old names. Before the believer can move on into the greater, they must first lay hold of the fundamental truths of God. I want you to hear me. Galatians 4:19 says, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again. Somebody shout again. Again. Until Christ be formed in you. 2 Peter 1:12. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. You see, we find that Isaac was not satisfied to simply experience what once was, but desired to move on, go on, and progress on in this walk with God.
Yeah.
Did you hear me? You can't move on until you rediscover what's been lost.
That's right.
Did you hear me?
Yeah.
You can't go to get new revelation until you utilize the revelation you got.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody. I'm about up to here with Mars Hill religion.
Yeah.
Everybody always gathering. They have to hear some new thing. Hadn't been obedient to the old thing.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody. I said that's usually the way it goes. We're not obedient to the foundational wells. But once you get those established, you've got to come to understand you need to move on with God. It's great that you're saved. Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It's great. But you need to move on to the baptism in the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody.
Yes.
Genesis 26:19 says, and Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. And the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, the water is ours. And he called the name of the well Issach, because they strove with him, and they digged another well and strove for that also. And he called the name of it Sidnah. Now when we understand the progressiveness in Isaac's life, we know that when he redug the first wells, the only opposer he had was himself. Isn't that right? Nobody came out there and tried to oppose him. There was none of that bickering and fighting there. He just had it in his own self simply because of neglect. But now we see as he moves on that he has an antagonist. He has an opposer. And in this walk with God, we must come to realize when you begin to take a step out into the freshness of God and the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, that everybody else behind you has not been willing to move forward into, you're going to face all of hell. I want you to hear me. All of hell's going to come against you when you begin to move on in the things of God. We understand with every great doctrine that the church has ever laid their hands on since the days of the book of Acts, from Luther to Wesley, all down the line, they had great opposition. But those that wanted to remain secure and stable at the wells of former years. But here tonight, I want to encourage you. You move on with God. You go on with God. You say, preacher, I may be the only one. Well, so be it. You move on in the power of God, the glory of God, and see what God will do in your life. Don't be bound by what once was, but be committed to what can be. Come on, somebody. You can shackle yourself up by saying, well, that's how far my mama went. That's how far my daddy went. That's how far my family went. I can tell you, but when you began, I've got people at our church. They grew up in different denominations, but they come to Pottsville, got filled with the Holy Ghost. Mom and daddy, they're still way back there. They're still bickering and fighting and arguing. You don't need the Holy Ghost. But I tell them, you keep on a digging. You keep on a finding and see what God would do in your life. You see, the enemy was going to come and challenge, oppose, and fight with Isaac. He wasn't going to let him progress in the things of the Lord Jesus Christ without a battle. Did you hear me? If you and I commit to moving on in the things of God, the Philistines will most assuredly come through strife and contention. Did you hear me? The name Sitna means strife. The name Essek means contention. We must come to realize that the strife and contention we feel from the Philistines or even possibly in our own self is simply a testimony that we're on the right track with God. The enemy of our souls desires for us to give up, turn around and quit and throw in the towel, and he presses us on these things through strife and contention. I mean, you go to your Thanksgiving dinner and you feel the strife. You get on the Christmas dinner and you feel the contention. That's just the way it is as you're moving on in the depths of the Lord Jesus Christ. But by the grace of God, I'm here to tell you, I'm moving on with God. I may lose some friends in the process, but my heart says, I'm going to keep digging. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep moving. I'm going to keep walking. I'm going to keep running. Why? Because Christ is my desire. Give him a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Acts 7:26 says, and the next day he showed himself unto them as they strove, and would have set them at one again, saying, sirs, you are my brethren. Why do you wrong one another? Acts 11:2. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him. Acts 23:9. And there rose a great cry, and the scribes that were of the Pharisees part arose and strove, saying, we find no evil in this man. We must come to realize that there is no strife and contention like the one over moving forward in the things of God. Folks, I've contended, I've strived with a lot of people, but there's nothing like the strife and contention when you're moving forward with God.
Yes.
Even in your own self. That old nature, don't that Philistine? Look at your neighbor. You're looking at an outward Philistine. Oh, come on, somebody. That old nature doesn't want you moving forward with God. It'll oppose you every time you get up to pray. Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
Scripture says, and Isaac removed from thence and digged another well, and for that they strove not. Jesus. And he called the name of it Rehoboth, and he said, for now. Somebody shout now.
Now.
Now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. You know what he's saying? He's saying in your desire for progression, you're going to be attacked. You're going to be opposed. You're going to be fought against. But there comes a day when things begin to adjust out. Come on, somebody. You may be here today and you may say, Pastor Robin, I'm trying to move forward with God and all I feel is strife and contention in my own self. Keep walking with God. I said, keep walking with God and all that strife you feel today will subside. Did you hear me? Every time you begin to move forward with God, there's always that a contention in your own house between the Isaac and the Eve. But if you'll walk with God, you'll find that that subsides in time. Come on, somebody. One able commentary states, though we must use the light of former ages, it does not therefore follow that we must rest in it and make no advances. We must still be building upon their foundation. We read Hebrews 6:1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. Another commentary states, these that open the fountains of truth must expect contradiction. The first two wells which they dug were called Issach and Sitna, contention and hatred. We must come to see that when we desire to move into greater revelation, greater knowledge, and greater understanding of the things of Christ, we will face contention and strife. But if you'll keep going on, child of God, you will find the rest, the room of the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you hear me? I said, if you'll keep pressing and you'll keep moving and you'll keep going. Come on, somebody. We find that because Isaac was unwilling to be deterred, that eventually entered a place of rest, relaxation, and most importantly, room. Come on, somebody. Genesis 26:22. He removed from thence the person that loves living in strife. I've got issue with them. There's some people with strife with everybody. Always. You look at them, they're always in strife with everybody, everything, all the time. Come on, somebody. But Isaac understood God didn't create him to just love, to abide, and to be fruitful in strife, but to move on till there's room and the strife has ceased. He removed from thence. He's not going to argue with you. He's digged another well, and for that they strove not. And he called the name of it Rehoboth, and he said, for now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. You say, preacher, when does fruit come? When you keep progressing to the place of room. Did you hear me? The pulpit commentary states, how unlike was Isaac to his brother Ishmael, who right or wrong would hold what he had against all the world. Genesis 16:12, and Ishmael will be a wild man. That's most of the church, legalistic folk. His hand will be against every man and every man's hand against him. Sister Candace, I don't know if we've got music. Thomas Fuller said, while we avail ourselves of the labors of our forefathers, we ought not to rest in them without making further progress, even though it expose us to many unpleasant disputes. Envy and strife may be expected to follow those whose researches are really beneficial, provided they go a step beyond their conflicts. They must enjoy the fruits of their labor. Labors in peace. In other words, today, the doctrines of Bible translations such as Wycliffe, people such as Luther, Wesley, and those of Azusa's Pentecost found room and time because those that initiated then did not cave under the pressure. Today, sister, all of us in this room, we enjoy Pentecost that others work through strife and contention. They say in America they were thrown out of their towns. Couldn't hold Pentecostal meetings. They'd have to go on the outskirts of town. People would drive by and throw vegetables at them while they sought the Pentecostal experience. Nobody's ever threw a vegetable at me. Come on, maybe in their mind, but not real. What is he saying, preacher? I'm saying if you'll just continue to move on. You see, when I got saved, the Lord saved my soul. And as I moved on with God, I've moved through valleys of contention and strife. You know what the Bible says? That Isaac digged what? Where? In the valley of Gerar. His father's wells were not in the valley. But in order oftentimes to dig new wells, you've got to walk through some valleys. Yes. Come on, somebody. Yeah. You've got to walk through some valleys. But at the end of the day,
Hallelujah.
There's room for me, sister.
Thank you, Lord.
There's room. God can make me fruitful in the land. Would you stand with me around the building? You may be here today and the devil's telling you what you've lost, you can never rediscover. The devil's a liar.
That's right.
You may be here today and the devil may say to you, you have no help in that rediscovery. The devil is a liar. You may be here today and you may say, well, it's not worth it. I'll just dig new wells. The devil is a liar. You may be here today and you may say, preacher, I'm just sort of at ease with the work I've already done. No, no. The devil is a liar. You may be here today and you may say, preacher, this contention and strife that I'm getting from every angle of my country, my family, my home, my job, I just don't know if it's worth it. The devil is a liar. If you'll keep on moving, you'll find you'll come to a roomy place. Restful place and a fruitful place. Can we gather around these altars and seek the Lord while He may be found?